From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama has been meeting at the White House this morning with a group of top bank executives. The president was expected to chastise them about their lending practices. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
With public anger at Wall Street high, the president plans to press the people he's called fat cat bankers to increase lending to small businesses and to stop trying to block his financial reform legislation. The president didn't initiate the taxpayer bailout of the banks, but his administration is now taking the heat for it as the big banks rebound while Main Street suffers. Most of the big banks have repaid the money they owed the U.S. government so that they can get out from under the government's restrictions on executive pay. Three of the bankers expected to attend today will have to hear the president's address down by phone. The chairman of Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup were stuck on a plane from New York that was delayed by fog, and they didn't make it to the White House. Mara Liasson, NPR News, the White House.
Citigroup reached a deal early today to repay the $20 billion in federal bailout money it owes with funds from private investors. The company also said it will work to help the government sell off the $25 billion in Citigroup stock it holds and to begin backing off other government assistance. Citigroup will be the last of the major Wall Street banks to pay back its federal bailout assistance. A court in Pakistan has ruled that the five American men who were detained last week on suspicion of links with militants cannot be deported to the U.S. until judges review the case. From Islamabad, NPR's Julie McCarthy has more.
In restraining the government from deporting the five Americans, the Lahore High Court ruled on a habeas corpus petition. The petition was filed earlier in the day by Khalid Khwaja, an individual who has brought cases in the past on behalf of alleged militants and persons believed to have disappeared at the hands of Pakistan's security apparatus. Khwaja's attorney, Tariq Asad, said that FBI investigators who arrived in Pakistan last week were interfering in the affairs of Pakistan. He said that if any offense were committed in the country, it ought to be charged and tried before a Pakistani court. The five jailed U.S. citizens have not been formally charged. The Lahore High Court directed the Prosecutor General of the Punjab province to submit by December 17th a comprehensive report on the allegations against the jailed Americans. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.
Iran's foreign minister says the three Americans arrested in July after straying across the Iranian border from northern Iraq will stand trial. He accused the three of entering Iran with what he called suspicious aims. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the charges of espionage against the Americans are totally unfounded.
The three young people who were detained by the Iranians have absolutely no connection with any kind of action against the Iranian state or government.
Clinton renewed her call for the immediate release of the three Americans. This is NPR News from Washington. The first national survey of mental disorders in children is out, and it shows that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is the most common disorder in children aged 8 to 15. NPR's Joanne Silberner has more.
The study, published online by the journal Pediatrics, is the first national survey based on interviews of children and their caretakers. Among more than 3,000 children and teens, 9% described symptoms of ADHD. 4% had a mood disorder, primarily depression. 2% had conduct disorder, unusually bad behavior. 1% had a panic disorder or anxiety disorder. And only 0.1% had an eating disorder. The survey relied on self-evaluation rather than professional judgments, which may explain why the rates were lower than what's been found in smaller regional studies. Only about half the children with mental disorders got professional help for their problems. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.
Talks have resumed at the UN Climate Conference in Copenhagen after key developing nations temporarily boycotted the negotiations. Those countries were pushing to extend the 1997 Kyoto Protocol, which imposed penalties on richer nations if they did not comply with its strict emission limits but made no such binding demands on developing nations. The move was seen by some as an effort to shift the focus of the talks to the responsibilities of industrialized nations in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The conference is now into its second week. Later this week, President Obama and scores of other world leaders are set to arrive in Copenhagen for the end of the session. Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 31 points. The Nasdaq Composite is up 15. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.